Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now on WRAL, the historic event today that's changing Fort Bragg's name to Fort Liberty. Gilbert Bays is live on post.
Breaking news. Soccer officials are speaking now about the report of a racial slur during the soccer tournament in Cary.
And two teenagers are in serious trouble after officials say fireworks were set off inside Clayton High School. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. History was made a couple of hours ago when Fort Bragg became Fort Liberty. Signs at the gate around post are sporting the new name.
And WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays, who served at Fort Bragg years ago, was on hand as the colors for Fort Liberty were uncased at the main post parade field. Gilbert, how was that?
Well, Renee and Jeff, this is going to take a little getting used to for me, looking over my shoulder and seeing that Fort Liberty here. You know, but this community, military leaders and veterans, they were given a mission to come up with an appropriate name for this installation. And I tell you what, you can see, mission accomplished.
Cannons rendered a 15-gun salute this morning on the main post parade field. It was a sign that something significant was about to happen. The ceremony is the last step in the redesignation of Fort Bragg to Fort Liberty. It's been a grueling process with members in the community and veterans haggling over what the name should be. We're told during one of the meetings, Patty Elliott, a Gold Star mother whose son was killed in action, stood up and suggested the name should be Fort Liberty. She told the local name-changing committee her son died for Liberty.
You know, can I just point out something? And the thing about it is, like he said, you know, the thousands and thousands of soldiers who have come before and the legacy that they built, but it's also the thousands and thousands yet to come. And with a name like Liberty, you're honoring all of them.
In a way, I guess that makes Patty Elliott the Gold Star mother for Fort Liberty. The ceremony lasted about 30 minutes. Lieutenant General Chris Donahue, who is now the commander of Fort Liberty, makes no apologies for its shortness.
We don't do lavish and everything else. We do war fighting and we take care of our people. That's what Fort Liberty is. Always has been, always will be. People, war fighting.
Taking care of your business here, you know, and for many of us who served here, this will always be Fort Bragg, and for the young folks who are coming right now, it will be Fort Liberty. This sign has changed, but one thing the command emphasized this morning during that ceremony, the thing that hasn't changed is this is still the home of the Airborne Special Operations Command, the Green Beret, Delta Force. Renee and Jeff, this is still the place that when the president dials 911, the phone call will be answered.
Change is progress in this case. Gilbert, thank you.
And this noon hour here in the WRAL Live Center, we're following some breaking news concerning that the soccer tournament racial incident. We'll give you a live look now at the press conference area that's will be the backdrop for that news conference that officials will be talking and addressing this issue that happened last night. If we take some video of that field there at the Wake Mat Soccer Park, here's what we know happened in terms of what officials are saying. Dallas United withdrew from the tournament. Last night's game with West Ham was suspended. A Dallas player is accused of directing a racial slur toward West Ham's Frank Noble. TST issued a statement about remaining unified against racial insensitivity. Dallas United game that was scheduled for this afternoon has been canceled. Again, this is a live look at the backdrop for a press conference that will happen any moment now. As soon as it happens, we'll bring you any new information and what we find here in the WRAL Live Center.
Right, we know we can count on you, Ken. Thank you. Can't rule out a possible storm on this first weekend of meteorological summer.
And temperature-wise, it'll feel like summer. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner joins us now with a closer look.
You know, anything could be better than last weekend, that is for sure. Look at this. We're starting off the weekend, kicking it off on a Friday here at Southern Pines at Longleaf Golf and Family Club. Just a couple of minutes ago, there were a bunch of kids out here having a big time. Looked like they were having a kids' golf camp. Beautiful, partly cloudy skies, really pleasant temperatures. Tomorrow's going to be a very warm day for us, too. Right now, we're looking at partly cloudy skies. The farther east you go, the more cloud cover there is. But really, for the bulk of us, we're seeing partly cloudy to mostly clear skies. Really, you go north and west of Raleigh, and it looks nice and clear. That's what we're going to see tomorrow. Lots of clear sky. We're going to see our temperatures really warming up, and then we'll see a front that drops into that air mass. That's going to fire off some showers and thunderstorms. Here's us this afternoon, 5 o'clock looking good. There is the possibility of a quick little shower that could pop up later on today, similar to what we saw yesterday, but most likely we won't see as many of those. Tomorrow morning, we're going to start off with some cloud cover, but very quickly we clear. This is lunchtime tomorrow. And then this is a little bit later arrival of the thunderstorms than we were showing you this morning. So at 5 o'clock, we begin to see a few isolated showers and storms from, say, Durham to Roxborough. And that mostly stays in our north and western counties. Not everybody's going to see this when the front comes through. We'll see just a few scattered thunderstorms, not looking at anything severe. 83 today, but look at that, 89 for tomorrow. It's really going to be a warm day. We haven't officially hit 90 degrees yet at RDU. We'll be close to it tomorrow. But what happens behind the front for Sunday looks fabulous with a high of 77. I'll show you what happens with our dew points or humidity behind that front coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Authorities say two students set off a firework in a bathroom stall at Clayton High School. A spokesperson for the town said 18-year-old Amir Coates faces a felony charge of burning a school building and several other charges. He's in jail under a $125,000 bond. A juvenile petition is being obtained for the other student, who is 16. The incident happened on Wednesday. The sound of the firework initially caused some students to think it was a gunshot. Heavy smoke filled the hall and a wall was damaged. Firefighters responded quickly to the school. Law enforcement located the students. No one was hurt.
Happening today, the town of Chapel Hill is raising awareness about the dangers of guns in the community. Local leaders and activists will attend the National Gun Violence Awareness Day event. It's also known as Wear Orange Day in honor of those who have lost their lives in shootings. Gun violence is now the leading cause of death for children and teens in the U.S. Today's event will include updates on state and federal legislation regarding gun safety, and it's happening at the Peace and Justice Plaza in about 25 minutes. A 17-year-old girl remains in custody on a murder charge. Rocky Mount police say she was arrested in connection to the killing of Philip Johnson. Investigators say the 57-year-old man was found dead inside a home on Cypress Street Wednesday. They didn't say how he died. The name of the girl charged in this case was also not released. She was taken to juvenile services.
There's a push for a new detox and recovery center in Johnson County to fight the ongoing opioid crisis. Organizers from JOCO, Angels, and Recovery Alive say they would like to see this as another option to help patients battling addiction. Johnson County is slated to receive more than $8 million from a national opioid settlement over the next 18 years. Advocates say some of that money should be used to open a treatment center.
I want to focus on the cure. The person who has overdosed, I do believe they should have someone show up for them.
WRL has reached out to county commissioners and the county health department to find out their plans for the settlement money. We're waiting to hear back.
We're following more breaking news here in the WRL Live Center. Rocky Mount Police investigating a shooting that happened at the cookout on North Wesleyan Boulevard. With the help of Google Maps, let me give you a reference point. That's the cookout right there, and that's Wesleyan Boulevard that you're looking at. Police say some type of altercation happened at the cookout with a 16-year-old female employee who police say is a validated gang member. Investigators say she shot 19-year-old Tahaji Brown. He is in critical condition at ECU Health Medical Center in Greenville. The 16-year-old suspect is charged with a number of charges, including attempted murder. She's being held in a juvenile facility. Of course, this is a developing story. We'll bring you any new information here in the WRL Live Center.
Thanks, Ken. This morning, we got mostly good news about the addition of a lot of jobs. And last night, Congress has approved a debt ceiling deal. So what does it all mean for our economy this summer? WRL's Brian Schrader heard from a UNC economist about what he thinks will happen. Brian, what did he tell you?
Well, let's start with that good news. So far, no sign of a recession in the U.S. economy. This morning, we learned that employers added 339,000 jobs in May. Economists were expecting only 195,000. And the unemployment rate remains below 4% in the country. And UNC Kenan Institute Director Greg Brown says that economic strength means it is a good time for politicians to get serious about the government's finances. As President Biden prepares to sign that debt ceiling agreement, Brown criticized the left for being too focused on raising taxes and the right for being too focused on spending cuts. Brown said the only realistic solutions are in the middle.
No one ever likes having you know, higher taxes and you know, lower benefits coming from the government. But you know, we need to start thinking about realistically what we're going to do to prevent an exploding federal deficit over the next decade or two.
After that debt ceiling agreement, markets are calmer today. So with all of that in mind, what can we expect in the coming months? Well, Brown says that inflation still is elevated and persistent. And with these strong economic numbers this morning, he thinks it's likely the Fed will continue interest rate hikes to get it under control, Jeff.
All right, Brian, thank you. It is moving the numbers certainly on Wall Street as we check trading for this closing day of this week. Dow Jones Industrial Average, look at that, up over 600 points this noon right now. NASDAQ, pretty solid as well, up 119 points, and S&P 500 is up more than 50 right now.
Quite the upswing on the Dow. You can pick up free over-the-counter medication today in Raleigh. The North Carolina Medicist is hosting a free pharmacy event right now. It goes until 2 p.m. It's at the Roberts Community Center on East Martin Street. You can pick up cough and cold medicine, vitamins, allergy meds, and first aid supplies. It's open to anyone over 18, no income restrictions.
The search for the perfect selfie is putting more Americans at risk.
Especially when they're visiting our national parks. Next at noon, how people are getting too close to nature just to boost their likes on social media.
Also, more businesses say it's time for employees to stop working from home and come back to the office. Trouble is, many Americans just don't want to. The harmful ripple effect that's having in cities across the country.
Plus, new concerns about one automaker's airbags. Stay with us.
Looking live right now at the DBAP over in Durham, watching WRL News available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. About some sunshine out there. There is a new warning about getting too close to wildlife in our national parks as more tourists take big risks often to get that picture, perfect one for social media. Erin McLaughlin reports.
In Yellowstone National Park, relief after this near disaster and a warning to summer tourists.
Because the buffalo could have kicked all their butts pretty easily and ate grass like 3 minutes later and not even been worried about it.
The harrowing encounter as a woman reaches out, posing for a photo, and then... Wildlife experts say it's the latest example of a troubling trend. Tourists getting too close, some looking for that picture-perfect moment.
By taking selfies, we put them in danger. By getting close, we put them in danger.
This week, a Yellowstone Park visitor pleaded guilty to a federal charge of disturbing wildlife and was fined $1,000 for helping a baby bison cross a river, which park staff allege possibly prompted the herd to reject the calf. According to park officials, the abandoned bison baby was eventually euthanized because it was causing a hazardous situation by approaching cars and people. The park now reminding visitors to stay at least 100 yards away from wolves and bears and at least 25 yards away from bison.
That we really got to double down on our understanding of how to coexist with them.
Federal documents reveal millions of Kia vehicles may have explosive airbag inflators. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration recently released 2016 reports that show the company used parts from ARC Automotive in about 4 million vehicles over a 16-year period. The agency says ARC refused to recall close to 67 million airbag inflators due to a rupture that could hurt or even kill passengers. A list of vehicle models and brands with the potential hazardous part has not been released.
And right now we'll take you out to the soccer tournament in Cary, where they're holding a news conference right now about those allegations of racial slurs being used in a game yesterday.
And the reason why is because, as I said earlier, the topic of conversation is much bigger than football, you know, and it's not just people of ethnicity who are dealing with this issue. Every race, colour, creed has to deal with this issue the same way that we would, that ethnic minorities do. You know, and I think making a stand, it's hard because when I was on the other side as a player and playing competitively and for a living, if someone said to me, walk off the pitch, the competitor in me would fight, you know, in my mind. But I'm no longer that. And I've got a duty I believe in myself to make sure that if I'm in these situations, I use my voice in the best way possible, you know. And I believe not just me, but the team as a whole, the squad as a whole, the club as a whole have done that. And that's why I'm standing here proud with my chest out with this badge on me, because we dove in the right way along with TST.
Anton, it's such a secondary thing. I'm curious if you guys put any, you know, the way it was resolved, where the game was abandoned, the neither team got any points, you guys effectively got eliminated, albeit from a friendly tournament, obviously. That cross your minds at all? Were you guys satisfied with the outcome in that way?
Yeah, 100, that's why we played today. You know, yeah. As I said, that was definitely a possibility that we might not play today if the outcome was different. But what we just done there today, regardless of whether we went through or not, we put in a performance today. Not just for ourselves, not just for our families who are watching back home, but for the West Ham fans, the US West Ham fans, the American West Ham fans that have travelled, and some of the British fans that are here as well who have travelled. You know, we put in a great shift for them today, and it was only right that we showed resilience, because to deal with stuff that happened yesterday, you have to show resilience and you have to show togetherness. You know, and that's what we've done. We've dealt with it off the pitch and we've dealt on the pitch. And there's no bigger statement than that.
Can I just ask you a quick one about the format as you're itself? I mean, the rules, the seven aside, target scored, have that sort of stuff. What'd you make of it? It's all very different, you know?
Are you excited about it?
I like it.
Yeah. There you go then. So
I
the
was
players.
Always going to like it. It's
exactly.
Like, yeah.
Exactly.
The big question is Declan to Arsenal? That's the real question we want to know.
That's not a question for me to answer. You know, but of course, in I'd love Declan to stay forever. Yeah. Whether that'll happen or not, only he and the club knows.
And so the fans here today make it clear that I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles is originally an American song.
Listen, West Ham, near and far, when you sing I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles, with that meaning, the British fans, they welcome you in. You know, every player that has played today, I'm probably one of the only ones who was a West Ham fan before, from the age of 9 all the way up. But every other player that played today, if they weren't West Ham fans, when they come and joined the club, they became West Ham fans. That tells you about our football club.
What do you make of seeing an American fan from North Carolina singing that song in an English accent?
I love it.
I'm curious.
I love it. But that tells you about our football club.
Yeah.
You know?
I also think it shows that football is worldwide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just in London or England, it's worldwide, and that's why this competition is fantastic, that everyone can come together.
As a fan, as a player, as someone who loves soccer, when something like happened yesterday happens, how does that make you feel?
I think that was one of the big things that was said yesterday, you know. You may not know what it feels like because of the colour of your skin. I know what it feels like. But if you're open-minded enough, you can understand just by the way I speak to you about it, the way I answer your questions, you're able to try and understand the feeling, you know, and show empathy to it. But as I said, we're a resilient bunch of players who, because of the right outcome, and that's solely down to West Ham, our staff here, and TST as an organisation, that the right outcome prevailed, and we was able to go and do the business on the pitch and show that although the topic of conversation is bigger than football, football is still the winner.
So I was just going to say, you especially mentioned obviously to Mo as well. They were brilliant as well, and obviously we joined in with the knee, and even afterwards, you know, special mention to them. I think they handled everything as well and really well.
And every club that was here, that's in this tournament, were willing to roll with whatever we was going to do. You know, if we weren't going to play no more, there was support there from every single football club that is here in this tournament, and that just shows you the solidarity and what solidarity can do.
Was there any outreach from the Dallas club after the incident happened?
Pardon?
Was there any outreach from Dallas, you know, players or representatives other than the player in question?
I think they wanted to have a conversation, but you know, I think it was only right that the powers that be, which is TST, they deal with it, you know, and it gets dealt with in the right way. I think to counteract something, there has to be deterrence, you know, and TST have sent out a strong message that any form of discrimination racism and other forms of discrimination is not tolerated in a tournament like this. And because of the repercussions of what's happened to Dallas, I hope people next year understand and realise the repercussions of saying such things, and I hope it is home.
Last question just here.
Anton, you mentioned that TST is, or other leagues can take notice of what the sort of decision that TST made. We saw how La Liga mishandled the Vinicius Jr. incident, many incidents actually. Is football at the highest level closer to bridging that gap, or are we further behind in terms of finding solutions to racism?
I think just the fact that you've mentioned what happened with Vinicius Jr. tells you that we're so far away from it. But we won't stop fighting. We won't stop fighting. But the most important thing, I think, the message is, it's just not ethnic minority people's fight. It's everybody's fight. You need to speak about it the same way I speak about it, the same way my teammates speak about it. That's one thing that we had yesterday. It wasn't just black players that were talking about it. It was players who were white, like Jarvo, Elliot Ward, Jimmy Walker, coming forward and speaking before me, before Colin Cole. You know, that's very, very important, you know, because when somebody of white heritage hears somebody of my heritage speak of it, it's almost like it's a broken record, we've heard it before. But when you hear it from somebody who looks like you, it makes you take note. So I think everybody needs to come together and fight as a collective. And if we do that, football can be it's hard, but football could be the catalyst for change in society. But society's got to want to change with it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, man.
Cheers. Thank you.
We're watching a news conference over in Kerry. West Ham United Soccer Club, you see they're leaving the podium right now, came over from England to join this soccer tournament. Dozens of teams playing. Yesterday played a team from Dallas, and somebody on the Dallas squad allegedly used a racial slur against, I'm guessing, Anton Ferdinand, the player right there addressing it. He took it very personally on the podium here and explaining what happened. His team took a knee this morning before their game. They played. They were eliminated from the tournament. But the conversation started last night with Dallas when this whole thing went down, talking with the soccer tournament officials there. They removed the Dallas soccer team from the tournament amidst this racial slur and moved forward from there, addressing it and in solidarity with the players taking a knee and all the players in the tournament agreeing that this is how that they would move forward. So a big, big uprising and now how it's come to an end here.
And what Anton said there, football, what they call football, we call soccer, can be a catalyst for change. We shall see, and we'll continue covering the story on our news at 4. Let's get a check of weather right now with meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner. The clouds still there, but they've lifted from the morning.
We have a lot of breaks in the clouds, and it's a little bit hard to tell right here. It looks really, really gray as we look westward across Wake County. But if you look right there where the banner is, you can see a little blue sky, and we're seeing plenty of big holes in the clouds. And so it's going to be a nice afternoon for us. It's already 78 degrees, so we're warming up very quickly. Our dew point's at 61. That's not terrible. It feels a little muggy, but it doesn't feel like that summer oppressive sort of mugginess. We'll climb on up into the low 80s as we continue to have some holes in the clouds here and there through the rest of the afternoon. A little bit breezy. When I pulled this up just about 10 minutes or so ago, there were a number of towns where we were seeing wind gusts. Right now, we're just down to Southern Pines. The wind's still coming out of the northeast, gusting to 16. Wind's pretty steady at 5 to 10 right now, but we may end up seeing winds gusting, say, 15 to 20 in places through the afternoon. High of 83 in Raleigh, 84 in Durham, and 84 in Fayetteville under partly cloudy skies. You probably or may remember you ran into a shower yesterday. You remember that. There were just a few isolated showers yesterday, so we could see a repeat of that. But whatever showers we see will be in and out very quickly, and most of us won't see rain. Looking good for baseball for the next three days, and of course, looking good also for soccer. Here are the time periods that you need to watch for and the areas. First of all, everything's looking pretty good in Durham. Our chance for a shower this afternoon is really minimal. 82 degrees at 6:30 today, 80 degrees at 6:30 tomorrow. Now, tomorrow, it's likely to be a bit cloudier. You can see the cloud cover there behind the stadium, and there's the potential for an isolated shower or thunderstorm. Doesn't look like it'll start until around 5 or 6. It looks like it moves out fairly quickly, but we could be dealing with just a little bit of rain on Saturday. And then behind that front, it looks glorious for Sunday. We're looking at lower humidity, lots of sunshine. sunshine and 77 degrees at 5 o'clock. Here's a look at today. Again, looking at lots of sunshine continuing to break out through the afternoon in between some clouds and an isolated shower or two. You can see that a couple of those want to pop up here and there, but the coverage there will be minimal and the showers themselves won't last very long. We have a 20% chance of rain in the forecast for Saturday. So we were talking about that for the Durham Bulls game, but it's a very small chance for us on Saturday. And then Sunday, it looks like it'll be nice and dry with plenty of sunshine. Our muggy meter really not looking too bad for today and tomorrow. And then we see a nice drop. We're looking at 50s for dew points Sunday and Monday. That's going to feel very comfortable. And it'll feel pretty good into next week as well. Mountain forecast for tomorrow in Asheville, a bit warmer at 86 degrees. And then in Boone, looking at 84 tomorrow. Grandfather Mountain will get that extra elevation and it'll be cooler in the low 70s. There is a chance of some scattered thunderstorms, especially in the northern mountains. Beach forecast looking good for tomorrow. Just an isolated shower. You know, we tend to see that popping up just inland from the beaches during the summer. 84 in Wilmington, that's inland, but right along the beaches, Wrightsville, Nags Head, temperatures will be in the mid 70s. We take a look at our forecast, 89 degrees. We talked about this just a few minutes ago. We have not hit 90 officially yet at RDU. We're looking at much cooler temperatures on Sunday and then some pleasant conditions for next week. Still watching the tropics, so Tropical Depression 2. I'll show you where it is coming up.
A warning about apps like Venmo and PayPal.
Why it may not be safe to store your money there for very long. People who use Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App shouldn't store their money with those apps for the long term because it may not be safe during a crisis.
That's a warning from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It comes in the wake of the collapse of SVB, Signature Bank, and First Republic, which all saw bank runs as customers with uninsured deposits pulled their money out. The FDIC insures bank accounts up to $250,000, but money stored in payment apps are not held in traditional accounts. While some funds may be eligible for pass-through insurance coverage, they're generally not covered by deposit insurance. We have breaking news about accusations of a racial slur said during a match at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary during the soccer tournament. More on that coming up.
Also ahead, what you need to know about North Carolina's voter ID law and the discussion underway today about how to implement it.
We start this half hour with breaking news. The soccer tournament officials have been holding a news conference after a report of a player using a racial slur during last night's match in Cary.
Let's take you to the Live Center with Ken Smith right now, who's listening into that news report. Ken.
Jeff and Renee, right about now, the CEO of TST right now is addressing the issue as well. But just a little while ago, a few minutes ago, players from West Ham took to the podium. We were talking about Matt Jarvis and Anton Ferdinand. Now, neither of these players are said to be the focus of that alleged racial slur, but they were speaking for the team this morning. And listen to what Anton Ferdinand had to say about how the team handled what happened last night.
I need to go on record and say that the topic of conversation that was laid bare yesterday is bigger than football. And the way that TST dealt with it so swiftly, the no-nonsense action, a lot of people around the world, organisations around the world can take note. And again, West Ham United, the support that they've given us as a team, you know, and as a squad, not just to us, but for the staff that are here with us, has been second to none.
And we should know that before today's game, that all the West Ham players took a knee in solidarity as a team. They also won their game today. We're also asking more questions about this incident. Did TST confirm that there was a racial slur, or did this all happen because of the zero tolerance policy? Those are some questions that we're continuing to ask. Of course, we have a crew on this story. Look for new reporting on this story starting at 4 right here in WRL.
Ken, thanks for that. Most North Carolinians will need photo ID to vote in this year's municipal elections and likely in next year's presidential election. North Carolina's voter ID law was upheld by a court in a court fight for years, but the state Supreme Court provided some finality earlier this year. State Board of Elections is working on implementation now. In fact, the board just wrapped up a meeting on this, and WRL's Travis Fain joins us right now after watching what took place in that. And Travis, what's the most important thing for people to know coming out of this?
It's simple. Bring photo ID with you the next time you go vote.
If you don't have photo ID, you can get one for free through the State Department of Motor Vehicles. In the coming weeks, people are going to be able to get them from county boards of elections, too. You're going to see a good bit of public outreach about this sort of thing, mailers, public announcements. We've just been back and forth over voter ID here for about a decade. So the idea is to avoid confusion about the rules now that it will be required.
And in today's state board meeting, what were they there to do? What were they going over?
So, like, details that you might not think about. For example, the law says that IDs have to bear a reasonable resemblance to the voter. That has to be kind of explained to poll workers. What does that mean? Because there's, you know, 100 counties, 100, all these different voting locations. So a more detailed rule gets written that notes, hey, you know, people gain weight, their hair changes, don't reject an ID because of that. And because you'll need to include a photocopy of your ID with any absentee ballots, the board will redesign the envelope used to mail those ballots in. State is also asking colleges and government agencies to get in touch because student and employee IDs can be used at the polls, but they have to be approved by election officials first. So they want digital copies of those IDs submitted now for review.
So there's a lot there, and there's a lot to go over and continue to follow. And Travis, we know you will. Thanks for that, Travis, part of our state government team. We appreciate it. And state lawmakers rolled out a new package of proposed election laws yesterday. You can look for coverage of that bill later today on WRL News and on our website, WRL.com. Many of us would do almost anything for a better night's sleep.
But the secret to sleeping soundly may be as simple as changing what you eat. We'll explain after the break.
Also ahead, the new movie shedding light on an often overlooked issue in the Asian American community. Why the director says it's such an important topic. A new study suggests certain foods can negatively affect your sleep quality. Junk food, high in sugar, saturated fat, and processed ingredients can disrupt your restorative sleep. Researchers from Sweden tracked 15 men who switched from a healthy to unhealthy diet for a week. Measurements of brain waves, oxygen levels, heart rates, and eye movements during sleep showed that those who consumed junk food experienced poorer sleep compared to those with a healthy diet.
Millions of Americans are not taking their medications as prescribed, and it's all because of the cost. The CDC found while most adults between ages 18 and 64 took at least one prescription med in 2021, more than 8% said they tried to save money by skipping doses. Some people also reported taking less medication than prescribed or delaying a refill. The CDC says more than a third of adults took at least three prescription medications in 2021.
A new film in California theaters is shedding light on some of the mental health issues affecting the Asian community.
Hey, what's going on with Dad?
Yeah, he's just been a little mopey around the house, and that's about it.
Hundreds of people packed the theater to see Dealing with Dad. The movie highlights an Asian American family dealing with their father's depression and emphasizes how to identify the signs. The dramedy is the third feature film for writer and director Tom Wong. Wong explains why this production is so significant to the layers of complexity in the Asian community.
So the film is based on my experience trying to get my dad out of depression. It took about 8 years, and part of the reason was I didn't understand what it was. And once I figured it out, it took me a longer time to get my mom and his family and his friend to, like, understand it was disease, you know.
After showing the film in 35 festivals across the country, Wong partnered with advocacy groups to help offer mental health services and spread more awareness among the Asian American community. There's a big event in Durham this weekend that celebrates African and African American history, arts, and traditions.
Just ahead, we'll tell you what's new and exciting at tomorrow's Bimbe celebration.
Also ahead, find out what happened this hour that lets you see the planet Mars like you've never seen it before.
The Bimbe Cultural Arts Festival returns to Durham tomorrow for its 53rd anniversary. WRL is a proud community partner. This family-oriented event is a celebration of African and African-American history, culture, arts, and traditions. Joining us now to talk about this year's event is musician and former Durham City Council member Pierce Freelon. Hi, Pierce. Great to see you. So for folks who are new to the area or for people who have never been to the Bimbe Festival, tell us about the origins of this festival.
Yeah, well, Bimbe started long before I was born, but has been a really important part of Durham's cultural tapestry since I was a little kid. I was born here in Durham, and I remember just from a very young age coming to Bembe and seeing, first of all, the African-American dance ensemble. You're going to hear African drumming. You're going to see dances. You're going to see, you know, African print fabrics and be rooted in that tradition. And we are going to kind of track that legacy to hip hop. It's the 50th anniversary of hip hop this year. And so, you know, everyone from KRS-One to Mr. Cheeks, it'll be a beautiful kind of tether from past to present from the African-American.
Marking some wonderful milestones there. Can you? Oh, it seems like we've lost the connection here with Pierce, unfortunately. But we do want to let you know that the 53rd Annual Bembe Cultural Arts Festival is tomorrow from 1 to 7 p.m. at Rock Quarry Park on Stadium Drive in Durham. It is free and open to all ages. They have a family-friendly kids fun zone, and the weather should cooperate. Jeff.
It is certainly a festival like no other. You want to see those bright colors out there. And Elizabeth Gardner and the WRO Severe Weather Center, lots of festivals and many of them free over the weekend. Folks want to know what they're going to face when they get out there.
Yep, so we are watching the evening for some scattered thunderstorms. So anything that's outside, especially from Durham westward, northward, has the potential to see some scattered storms late afternoon into the evening. Pretty soon after sunset, all of those should dissipate. We take a live look at Goldsboro right now. Partly cloudy skies. You can see plenty of sunshine. Same thing in Apex. And Chapel Hill, lots of sun in Chapel Hill. As a matter of fact, once you get to sort of past Apex, sort of over toward Durham County and westward, we have really clear skies thanks to Chapel Hill, thanks to Top of the Hill Restaurant. And then, of course, Fayetteville there, that's our Fayetteville newsroom, seeing plenty of sunshine there as well. So a nice looking lunchtime, and we'll continue to see that for the rest of the day today. Our next system on Saturday is a cold front that'll drop in from the north. We call that a backdoor front. It's going to be a hot and mostly dry day, but late in the day, we're going to see those thunderstorms popping up as that front starts to drop southward. Here's a look at futurecast again for today, because, you know, we just can't go through too much of today. We continue to see partly cloudy skies and an isolated shower that could pop up late this afternoon or this evening. First thing tomorrow morning, we'll see some cloud cover, especially from Raleigh and Durham eastward. We may be a little clearer back to the west, but skies will clear quickly. Look at how clear we are at lunchtime tomorrow, and then we begin to see some clouds filtering in, say, around 3 o'clock. Or so. Around 4 or 5, we begin to see that front dropping southward. You can see some scattered showers and thunderstorms from South Hill to Durham to Roxboro at 5 o'clock, and we'll drop it down to the south, and by 10 or 11, it's all out of here. But again, it's really going to be, say, along US 1 and westward, or along I-85 and westward. That's where we'll have the best chance of seeing any scattered storms. I wouldn't expect any of those to be severe. Sunday's looking beautiful. There's Sunday at lunchtime. We'll see mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies, and Sunday will be nice and dry. Tropical Depression 2 looks like it is not going to become Arlene. It is moving very slowly still. This is our 11 o'clock advisory, moving south at 5 miles per hour and the wind 35 miles per hour. That really has not changed all morning. So it will remain a tropical depression and eventually just a remnant low pressure system as it approaches Cuba. We're not looking at any impact here in North Carolina or really for any part of the United States. Looking at a warm day for tomorrow, temperatures will be in the upper 80s. Looking at a lovely day on Sunday at 77. And then as we look ahead, looking at a warm day on Tuesday. And of course, we're looking at some very pleasant conditions as we get into Wednesday and Thursday. There could be an isolated shower or thunderstorm potentially next week, but for the most part, that's looking good.
We will take it, Elizabeth. Thank you. It's not life on Mars, but it is live on Mars.
Yeah, we hope you heard the subtle difference there. Coming up, why you can now see the red planet in real time.
Also ahead, why a poem will soon travel to a distant moon, and something of yours might be heading there as well.
And welcome back this noon as you take a live look, Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. Yes, putting in the sunshine out there. Sand Hills looking good right now, and the temperature's on the rise, especially almost going to hit 90 in the Triangle tomorrow. Wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today.
Fort Bragg is now officially Fort Liberty. The name Fort Bragg referenced a Confederate general from Warrenton, which is why it is being retired. The change comes as part of a Department of Defense initiative to rename 9 military installations which have the names of Confederate soldiers.
CEO of the soccer tournament and West Ham United players addressed allegations of a racial slur incident. A Dallas United player is accused of making the racial slur during last night's match. Dallas United withdrew from the tournament. This morning, West Ham players took a knee before their match in solidarity.
A teenage Cookout employee is charged with attempted murder after shooting outside the restaurant in Rocky Mount. Officers say a 16-year-old girl who works there shot someone after a fight. Police say the two did not know each other, but investigators say they learned the shooter was a member of a gang. They did not name the suspect, but they say she is now at a juvenile facility.
Americans are showing their appreciation for dads this year by splurging on Father's Day gifts. According to the National Retail Federation, people will spend a near record, or record-breaking, I should say, $23 billion on Father's Day, averaging around $196 per person. That's up from the $20 billion spent last year. Greeting cards, clothing, dinner or brunch outings, gift cards, and personal care items are among the most popular gift choices. Almost 30% of people are buying experience gifts, like tickets to a game or concert to celebrate their dads.
By the way, Father's Day is Sunday, June 18th, so you still have a little time to buy your gifts for dad. Mars made its live stream debut today.
This is so cool. For the first time ever, you can get a live look at the red planet in real time. The European Space Agency started broadcasting directly from Mars at noon. The event celebrates the 20th anniversary of the launch of the agency's Mars Express. This out-of-the-world action is live right now on the European Space Agency YouTube channel.
Very cool.
So cool. NASA is gearing up for its upcoming mission to one of Jupiter's moons, Europa.
That's where scientists believe a large ocean could exist under its layer of ice. The Europa Clipper spacecraft should launch in October of next year. It will journey nearly 2 billion miles to the icy moon, looking for conditions that could be suitable for life. Now, to commemorate this expedition, NASA asked U.S. Poet Laureate Ida Limon to write a poem that will also travel to Europe, Europa.
Space exploration is very awe-inspiring, and I think poetry can evoke that in us as well. And so to me, there's a lot more connections than separations between art and science.
So the poem will go to that moon, and NASA wants you to join in on the fun. While they can't physically send you to space, they can at least send your name. The agency has revealed its Message in a Bottle campaign. Those who sign up online can get their name stenciled onto a microchip along with Limon's poem. You want to get in on this, right? Go to europa.nasa.gov to add your name so then it can head to the final frontier. Time for our pet of the day. Meet Terrence.
Yeah, 6-year-old neutered male cat. If you're looking for an easygoing, independent, but still loving cat, Terrence is your guy. He likes his lazy days filled with lounging around, doesn't mind being left to do his own thing. But if you want to pet him, he'll light right up and give you lots of headbutts. Terrence has never lived with other pets, but he has met other cats at the SPCA, and so far so good with that. He's also okay with kids.
Terrence may be a little nervous at first, but once he feels settled, his personality comes right out. His adoption fee is $45, which includes his neuter, microchip, vaccines, and more. If you're interested in adopting Terrence, you can contact spcawake.org.
The Defense Department says it's tracking hundreds of UFO cases. Today on WRL News at 4, a closer look at NASA's new team studying these sightings and when we could learn more about them.
NBC News Daily is next on WRL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can also get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. Have a great, safe weekend.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.